Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Karen Geis, Acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs within the U.S. Department of Defense. Also joining us from IBM is Nicole Gartner. So, Dr. Geis, could you elaborate for us your strategic vision for the military health system?
So first of all, I think that the military health system is very strong and very capable, and it is full of people who come to work excited and wanting to do the right thing every single day. One of the things that we've worked very hard on is to manage and modernize the military health system with an enterprise focus. So recognizing that we do a lot of things in common across the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force medical systems, as well as the Defense Health Agency, which runs two hospitals. Where we operate in a common way, we should do things in a common way. So we're trying to standardize and make those a little bit easier. As we work in environments where we have collaborative efforts at the bedside. In other words, where we have more than one service providing health care within a given building structure. Having one way of doing things, one common way of providing health care and making sure that we're using best practices just makes good business sense and good personnel sense. It's hard to manage. It's hard to work collaboratively if you've got two ways of doing business. It's easier if you've got one way. We do recognize, however, that each of the military medical services have things that they need to work on for their particular military service. For instance, with the Navy, they have a great interest in undersea medicine. And that's a unique capability that they need to work on and maintain for their line leadership. But most of what we do is in common, and most of what we do should have a common approach, because I think that streamlines and standardizes and allows us to work at our highest level. So that's one thing. The other thing is making sure that our providers, our civilian and our military providers, are provided with 21st century capabilities. One of the key efforts we have in this regard is the new electronic health record. That is a business tool. It is a clinical enabler. It is not in and of itself a thing. It is something that is used to support the practice of medicine within our environment. And that means both in our deployed environment and our in garrison care. So making sure that we get our people the right tools to do their business and to make sure that we all get the outcome that we anticipate and want from providing good medical care. I think the other thing that we've constantly worked on is strategic partnerships. As I said before, we can't do this alone. We need to have good partners both in the private sector and around the world to do and carry out the missions that we are assigned. We've been working with the American College of Surgeons in a collaborative effort to kind of define what our deployment requirements are for surgical subspecialties within the military health system. We want to make sure that we have contemporary management for deployable skills that our surgeons need when they go into a combat situation or even just to support the combatant commanders in maybe disaster relief. So we're working very hard with the American College of Surgeons. Likewise, you know, we want to make sure that we harvest the best ideas that people have about how to not only manage health care, but to innovate. And to provide leadership training for our personnel. We think those are very good strategies that will help us get and maintain our edge, so to speak.
So you mentioned innovation and the great efforts of the military physicians and the service members are now creating a situation where more people are surviving in greater rates against much more devastating wounds. And that's a fantastic thing, but it's also providing the creation of some new challenges for the military healthcare system. Can you elaborate for us on some of those challenges and how the organization is working to address them?
We are extraordinarily proud of the trauma system that we have created in theater, which led to the highest survival rates of combat casualties in any previous conflict or war. What that does mean is that we have new challenges about how to rehabilitate those individuals and how ultimately to reintegrate them into civilian life when that becomes their best possible route. We partner with the VA in doing a lot of this work, as well as with other federal agencies. In the military health system, we work a lot on making sure that we have the right specialty care for these individuals. Sometimes that means sending them to the private sector for certain types of care. But we've also done a great deal to enhance our own capabilities in this regard to provide the best contemporary care for our service members and to make sure that they have the right tools, right equipment, right rehabilitation to either maintain in military service, which we do, or to transition if necessary to the civilian sector.
So switching gears just a little bit, can you talk to us about the Defense Health Agency, which is a relatively new group, and what successes it's had so far, and what are some of the key challenges it continues to face?
So the Defense Health Agency was a concept to put shared services within a single agency or construct within the department. And as I alluded to before, you know, we do a lot in common. So contracting can be done potentially better across the services at a more reasonable cost, harvesting sort of economics of scale. We do manage our IT the same way. So making sure that we have the one electronic health record, which will help and support our providers, but all of our other IT assets as well, as to make sure that we've got kind of common platforms that we use across the enterprise. The Defense Health Agency was the structure created to embed those shared services. If you think about it, the TRICARE Health Plan is really a shared service because it provides support around the envelope of MTFs for referral, where there's no capability within the MTF to provide those services, or where there's absolutely no MTF at all, and we need to make sure that our beneficiaries are afforded access to care. So those are the things that we really, really wanted to focus on within the Defense Health Agency. We want now, since we've stood the agency up, we want to kind of refine those approaches. The Defense Health Agency is also a combat support agency to the chairman, and as such, it needs to provide some support, and how they do that, we're in the middle of kind of structuring that to make sure that we provide that best support to the chairman when called upon. We want to optimize the Defense Health Agency's operations. You know, you can't be just content by putting a new nameplate on the door. You have to make sure that you're meeting the needs of the services, because that's what the Defense Health Agency is to do. It's to provide support to the services. So we're refining those business processes that allow us to actually manage that a lot better across the enterprise. So it's kind of working the agency and refining and thinking through, now, did we get it right when we set up the structure? Do we need to tweak things a little bit, and making sure that we support the services to the fullest extent that we can?
So, Dr. Geis, you mentioned modernizing at the enterprise level, and you've mentioned the health record a couple of times. Could you tell us just a little bit more about that initiative and what we might expect going forward?
Absolutely. So the primary goal of moving to the new platform was really to replace legacy systems and to come up with a more contemporary IT support for our providers. We awarded a contract in the summer of 2015 to Leidos, which serves as sort of that integrator and will help us to deliver what we have now branded as MHS Genesis, a modernized and interoperable electronic health record across our direct care system and even into our deployed settings. It is a single integrated medical and dental health record, and want to get it right. So I know people have heard that we're going to take a little bit of a pause in making sure that we get the right product to our providers. So we've moved the deployment schedule out just a little bit. In February 2017, however, we will deploy MHS Genesis at our first site at Fairchild Air Force Base Clinic. We're very excited about that opportunity, and I know the people at Fairchild are absolutely ready and excited to receive the software and see what they can do with it. So this is exciting times for us. It is not without a lot of work on a lot of people, and I want want to really make sure that our healthcare providers, who've been an instrumental and good partner with our technical people, are recognized. This is about changing the business. This is about changing workflows. This is about adopting a common clinical tool so that we can standardize our business practices and our clinical practices and afford the best care possible to our patients. So it's exciting times, and it's a lot of work, but we're excited to see it coming to fruition.
So earlier you mentioned the success of combat casualty care, and it's evolved over the past decade. I'd like to actually talk a little bit more. Maybe you could elaborate on the improvements in battlefield medicine, perhaps highlight some points of pride. But more importantly, how are you going to make sure the lessons that were learned remain?
So I think the first thing to comment on is the amount of dedication and work of our military providers in the last conflicts in supporting the combatant commanders in Iraq and Afghanistan. They worked tirelessly to not only understand what was happening on the battlefield, but to rapidly infuse new learning into the processes of caring for our wounded and ill service members. They did that by instituting a real learning healthcare system, and we are extraordinarily proud of that. And they should be extraordinarily proud of that. They sought for solutions to the problems they were seeing, and sometimes it was just as simple as making sure every medic had a tourniquet, making sure every buddy, using the buddy system, that every service member knew how to use a tourniquet, because blood loss on the battlefield is the primary reason people die. So that has saved lives, has made a huge difference in the ability for our medical personnel to support and save lives on the battlefield. How we institutionalize the learnings and the care that we provide is what we're doing right now, making sure that we document the lessons learned, making sure that we continually create that learning environment that pushes the envelope on how to support our service members and heal the wounds and stop the bleeding is critically important. I'm sure most everyone has heard about the recent National Academy of Medicine's report on trauma and combat casualty care within the military health system, and how that report actually says that the military is leading in trauma care in this country, and that many of the lessons that we learn on the battlefield then become infused into civilian health care and into civilian trauma, so that we really improve the lives not only of our military members through these lessons learned, but we actually improve the lives of our civilians and the opportunity to save more lives within the civilian sector too. I think that may be one of the special secret sauces of the military health system, that infusion of knowledge back into civilian practice. I think we all remember the day that Congressman Giffords was shot. Mm-hmm. I think people need to remember that her neurosurgeon was a reservist, and he learned how to manage those kind of wounds by being deployed. Mm-hmm. He saved her life because of what he learned within the military health system. And that's what we do every day. So it's a good investment for taxpayers because they reap the benefits ultimately.
Yeah, so the TRICARE you've mentioned a couple of times, and it's an essential and valued piece of the military health system. And I understand that this year, TRICARE 2017, the T-2017 contracts will be awarded for them to begin in 2017. How are you modernizing the TRICARE program to better align how medicine is delivered today and how patients expect to receive it?
So I just want to remind everybody, TRICARE is the mechanism that we use to supplement the direct care system and provide care to those not located at near military treatment facilities. TRICARE is an employer-sponsored benefit. It is more like an ERISA plan than it is health insurance. Mm-hmm. But it kind of looks like health insurance, and I think we sometimes get a little confused. But what we're trying to do with our T-2017 contracts, one big thing that we did was we used to have three regional areas and three contractors. There were some difficulties with that for our patients, particularly when they PCS'd from one area of the country to another, and to try to help mitigate some of those difficulties, we're going to go to two regions instead of three. So we think that will be a little bit of a help to them. We're also trying to make sure that we improve the communication across those two regions so that people can easily transition from one region to the other. So that should help with those bumps in the road as people move around. We also want to work on quality. We have an increased use of evidence-based practices in these particular contracts. We want to make sure that we improve the way we manage chronic care. We want to work on integrated case management and enhanced data sharing, just to make sure that we are providing that best care to our patients. We're also working a lot on satisfaction and accountability. We want to make sure that our customers are satisfied with what they're doing for us. That's the best bellwether that we have, that they're receiving the best care that they can. And we really value that feedback loop so that if something has gone wrong, if something is not working the way that the patient believes it should be working or that their family believes it should be working, we want to hear about that. But we're also increasing the alignment of the MTF for the medical treatment facility commander and the beneficiary satisfaction with how the contractor actually is performing. So kind of making sure that we really do coordinate people's care and that we provide that better experience of care for each and every one of our patients. We didn't develop the 2017 contracts in a vacuum either. So we did that through a whole series of stakeholder engagements where we developed the specifications that we included in the contract. We had lots of working groups. We met with our military medical service providers and departments. We had blue ribbon panels in. We talked a lot about innovation. We tried to harvest those best ideas that are out there about how you deliver care in the best way possible and are accountable for that care. And we think we've captured most of that in the 2017 contracts. We're not done. As you know, once we issue a contract, we start working on the next. And so we're already doing that to kind of harvest the next generation of best ideas and innovations that will continually improve the care that we provide to our patients, because that's what we value.
How is DoD ensuring it has a healthy and fit force? We will ask Dr. Karen Geis, Acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.